Luke 24, and I'm going to pick up the reading in verse 25, and I'll read a few verses and we'll pray. He says, "Then he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "O fools." Isn't that something the Lord saying, calling somebody a fool? But the Lord, the Jesus people worship today is not the Jesus of the Bible, most of them. It says, "And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to tell You thank You for the opportunity and privilege to be able to preach Your Word. So unworthy, dear Lord. I am so unworthy of You and, Lord, Your love and Your grace. But thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, to make all these things possible. Thank You for Your Word, Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank You so much for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I just pray that You'd speak to the hearts through Your Word. And Lord, You know what the hearts need, and I don't. Lord, I just pray You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, have full sway. We'll give all the glory to You, Lord Jesus. Amen. What I did is I picked up midway through a story. And what has happened is Jesus had conquered death, hell, and the grave. And what's happened is He's talking to these two on the road to Emmaus here, and He's been telling them about these sufferings, and He's expounded to them in the Scripture the things concerning Himself, and they're confused about this whole thing. And so He tells them here, He said they're fools and slow of heart to believe. And so I want to tell you the thing about a fool in the Bible. Now I'm going to preach an evangelistic message this morning. I normally don't do that, especially to y'all. I know that a lot of times I'm speaking to mainly saved people. Now what happens is that in a church, there's supposed to be saved folks, and that's what church is for saved people. But now, sometimes, I can't see your heart. All I can see is your face. And so only the Lord, if you're saved here this morning, the only people that know it is you and the Lord and the devil. You say, "Well, the devil knows if I'm saved." Yeah, he knows who his children are, who they're not. Now, what I'm doing is I'm trying to show you something in this Bible. If nothing else, there's a principle there that I want you to see out of this thing. Now, the first thing, I got a two-part introduction I want to show you about this thing. If all I did was just preach the cross to Christians every morning, you wouldn't grow any. You got to move on and grow. Now, thank God for the cross. Man, if it wasn't for the cross, I wouldn't be preaching here this morning. But you got to move on. A Christian is to grow in the Lord. But now, every now and then, we have to step back and look at the cross. And look, thank God that we got in on it. Now, I want to talk to you first of all about the prophets. He said, "You're slow of heart to believe all the prophets have said." All right, now what prophets do is they warn. You take in Luke chapter 16, you got two men die. Rich man, he dies and go to hell. He goes to hell, and the other man, he was poor, and he goes to Abraham's bosom there. And you know what happens there at the end? The rich man's in hell, and he said, "Look, send somebody to my brothers." He said, "I've got five brothers." He said, "No, send them out that they may." He said, "Look here." Abraham said, "Look, they got Moses and guess what? The prophets. Let them hear them. Because what? If they won't hear them, they won't hear what those some rose from the dead." You know what you'll find out? Somebody won't believe that Bible right there. No matter all the convincing you do, it's not going to do them any good. You can stand and talk to people about Bible doctrine until they're blue in the face, but if they don't believe that Bible right there, it's no good. So what you have is Jesus is telling them, he's giving you the definition of a fool, but I'm going a long way around to show you this thing. The prophets, they warn. He's telling about the prophets. Now, you got the Scriptures right there in front of you, and they do this. Romans 15:4, you don't have to turn there. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that's this Bible and the Old Testament things, "were written for our learning." Now, you take that Old Testament doctrine, there's a lot of Old Testament things that are for you profitably to learn from, but they're not for you doctrinally. You take Ezekiel chapter number 18, clearly says you lose your salvation. Now, is that for me and you? No, sir. That's not for me and you doctrinally. I could lose my salvation if I wanted to. Now, a lot of folks have problems with that. You say here this morning, the last thing you got to worry about is going to hell. Why? You're going to heaven whether you want to or not. You don't. You got a lot of these folks, "Well, I can get my salvation back." No, it says any man, it don't matter who you are, can't pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. That's any man, you're any man. Right. Now, the thing is, though, God warns and He gives things for us to learn in the Scripture. He said, and Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures." Guess what? If you've got a King James Bible in your lap right there, you got the Scriptures in your hand. You can search them. Some folks, the sad fact is, they never seen the Bible. Well, what happened? Well, they believe the Bible's here and the Bible's there and it's in the originals, it's in this and in this other thing. They don't even have the Bible. What? Guess what? You've got the Bible in your hand. So you know what the trouble is here in America? There's a lot of folks that are without excuse. See, the thing is, you're going to be judged on the things that you know. But also, you're going to be judged on the things that you would have known had you listened. That's the thing. You take a stop sign one time. I got pulled over down the stop one time for running the stop sign. And the trouble was, I couldn't see the stop sign for a branch in front of the stop sign. I still got pulled over. Well, guess what? If you break those laws right there and you could have known better, guess what? God's going to hold you accountable. Wow, that Scripture's there. We search the Scripture. The prophets warned, guess what? Nobody has an excuse. You take that sunshine out there, that sunshine, the Bible tells you in Psalms 19 is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It rises in the morning, it's red there, and it sets in the afternoon, it's red there when it sets. Why? Christ Jesus, He's the Son of Righteousness. He died for you, shed His blood for you, and guess what? He's coming back again one of these days, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Why? That sun pictures Him. And so you got that thing in the Bible, there's pictures there. Jesus warns you, you know what? There'll be nobody that goes to hell that has an excuse. For it. Why? Everybody, the Bible says they're without excuse. Everybody has got a chance to be saved. Now you take that thing, He's warned them, guess what? And also the Lord's personality. There in Luke chapter 24, after He talks to them, and He expounds on them the Scriptures, and it says this in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would go further. Isn't that amazing? Look how the Lord's personality is. Here He is, He's talking to him. He says, okay, now we'll see it. And He keeps on going. And the Bible said in the next verse, they constrained Him to stay. He stayed. You know what that shows you about the Lord's personality? He's not going to force Himself on you. You know what? The disciples were in a storm on the sea in Mark, I believe it's chapter 6. And you know what the Bible says He did? The Bible says that they're in a storm. And He's going by. The Bible says He made it as though He passed by. And they had to call out to Him. You take the Bible, Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord, that's the pre-incarnate Christ, guess what happens there? He's wrestling, the angel says, let me go. Well, did he want to let him go? No, that's a picture of wrestling in prayer. And you know what Jacob said? He said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. You know what happened? That shows you through those Scriptures, the Lord wants you to call out to Him. You know what happened? What He has to do with one of us? He has to get us to a place where we'll call out to Him. That's a sad fact. I see in my life all the time, the Lord has to get me to a place. What happens is, my flesh gets strong. I'm really doing something, And the Lord said, okay, let me let something come in there, and you'll find out you have to have me. Why? Because we have to have Him to breathe. The Bible says that every breath comes from the Lord. Our breath comes from Him. That the breath doesn't take from that, the Lord's allowing. And you know what happens? When the Lord gets to where He don't want you to take another breath, you won't take another breath. You got to thank Him for everything you have. Now you taking that Bible right there. He wants you to ask Him to come. That's the thing. You have got to invite the Lord. People say, well, you know, you make Jesus Lord. Look here, you don't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. He wants you to be. He wants, you know, people say, well, if He's not Lord at all, He's not Lord at all. He's not Lord at all. You couldn't find anything further from the truth. Simon Peter is told by the Lord over in Acts chapter 10. He says, Peter, rise, kill and eat. You know what Peter said? You know the life of God. He said, not so, Lord. Was Jesus the Lord of his life in that situation? No. You know what the Lord wants you to do? Your own free will. He wants you to follow Him because you love Him.
Right.
He said, well, if you don't follow God, that's God. He'll get you in the head and He'll break your car down. You crazy nutcase. You think God's got to have you? God don't have to have us. He don't have to have your money. He don't have to have your time. He don't have to have none of that stuff. Guess what he does? He said, look, I'm giving you all that. If you want to serve Him, there it is. You can serve Him. But if you don't, guess what? I don't have to have it. Folks said, that's not the Lord. Yes, it is the Lord too. Why? He made the heaven and earth. And guess what? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And guess what? He owns the tares under the hills too. He owns it all. And it's all His. And the Bible said, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You got a home? He gave it to you. You got a car, He gave it to you. You got clothes, He gave it to you. He allows you to have it. Guess what He does? He said, now look, if you want to use that and serve Him with that, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Well, I'll see you one of these days face to face. Because this is not all this old life. Everybody in here, nobody in here would argue with me that this life is a vapor. Y'all know that it is. Man, I'm 33 years old, and them 33 years have passed by just like a snap of a finger. I can't even believe I'm 33 years old. I know I'm still young, but what I'm saying, it won't be long and every one of us will be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to say, wow, this thing right here, it's went by fast. What I'm saying is, friend, you see this thing here, the Lord warns you, but He's not going to force you to do anything. Now, you take another thing too, the Lord's picture. Now, this is what I want to get to. I hope I didn't spend too much time on it. Look at 2 Samuel. I want to show you this thing. He called them fools. Now, why would He call them fools? Now, you take this thing here. We're turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 3. 2 Samuel chapter number 3. You know what the Bible says of Samuel? It says he was a prophet. So you know what you can do? You can take Samuel and you can find something here about these prophets, and you can find the word fool in there and run that thing and find out what the Lord's talking about. Slow, he said, you're slow of heart to believe. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. You know what we're doing whenever we're not believing in the Lord? Guess what we're doing? We're being like a fool. Christians can be foolish so many times. Why? You take the Lord off, the Lord helps us through so many things. The Lord helps you, He has brought you through so many things. And guess what? A lot of times we'll have a hard time in our life and say, oh Lord, what am I going to do now? Well, you're not going to do anything. You're going to let me work now. Why? Now you're leaning on me. You know what you'll find out? You're only as strong as what you're leaning on. Everybody in here is leaning on something. You take this thing right here, that's pretty strong for you. Now you take that few that I'm leaning like this right here. You know what I'm doing? You know how I know I'm going to heaven? Because I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on Jesus Christ. Here's hell in between me like this right here. You know what I'm doing? I'm just leaning on this and I'm leaning on Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know He's going to take me there no matter what I do. You take that thing, that's faith. I've got enough faith to believe that this thing's going to hold me up like this crazy position I'm in. You know what I do? I've got enough faith to believe I trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone and nothing else. And guess what? I'm going to heaven because of what He did, not because of anything I can do. Amen. Not of works of righteousness which I've done, but according to His mercy He saved me. Now you take this thing here, the Lord's got a picture, and there's pictures in these stories, and I want to read to you in 2 Samuel chapter 3, a quick story. Take me a few verses. This is what I'm getting to. You got to hear this story. Now this is neat. Verse 27 says, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate." Now remember that, in the gate of Hebron, "to speak with him quietly, and smote him under the fifth rib. Oh, that he died for the blood of Azahel his brother." So Abner killed Joab's brother, and Joab killed Abner. Alright, it says, "And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is in a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread." Now watch this. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner. Now let me stop there for a second. Did Abishai have anything to do with it? You didn't read Abishai, did it? Why did it say Joab and Abishai? Guess what? The Bible says in 1 John that if you hate your brother, if you hate anybody, it's just like you murdered somebody. Guess what? He throws Abishai in there. Why? Because Abishai wished he was dead anyway. So he threw him in there and said, "Hey, you and Joab did it. You was wishing he was dead." You run that thing to 1 John 3:15 and see. And so it says, "Abner, because he has slain their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron." See, there's in Hebron. Now watch it. "And the king lamented," or lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. Now here's the verse. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner, how? As a fool died. Now that's what I want to preach to you about. The Lord gave you the prophets to warn you, and the Lord has a personality, and you'll see that thing, you've got to invite Him. Now the thing is, you've got a picture here in the prophets, and guess what? You see a picture of the Lord. Now the place of death was Hebron, verse 27. Now hold your place there, I want to show you something. Now turn to Joshua with me. Deuteronomy, Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter number 21. We just go scripture with scripture and let the verses do the work. Joshua chapter number 21. Why did that Bible tell you he died in Hebron? You ever wonder, you know, you take some of these things and you wonder why the Lord
puts things in the Bible. You ever wonder about, why is that there? I do that all the time. I put a question mark by, put M-A-L by the thing. That means more life. Now, we're going to go over here. These names mean something in the Bible. Now, I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew to learn the Bible. Guess what I did? I'm a preacher of a sermon on picture of Jesus Christ. I took a Smith's Bible dictionary and learned what these names mean. Why? Because in the Bible, towns and things like that have meanings. Names did too. Peter said, the Lord said to Simon Peter, he said, thou art Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. See, names have meaning. The Bible says that Jesus, his name was Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. So names have meaning. So I've got biblical basis for what I'm about to tell you here. So I look these things up. I want to show you here what he means when he said he died in the gate at Hebron. Well, guess what? You're going to find something here. You got these things here in the Bible. It shows you. If you're in Joshua 21, look at verse 3. Joshua 21, and I said verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 13. It says, thus they gave to the children of Aaron, the priest Hebron, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libna with her suburbs. Now, Hebron was a city of refuge, and these cities of refuge are listed in Joshua 20, verses 7 through 8. I'm going to go down through them in order. All right, now guess what? Hebron, he said that he was in Hebron. He died in the gate of Hebron, and the Bible says that's for the slayer. Guess what happens? If you're reading the Old Testament, if somebody killed somebody, they could go to these cities of refuge, and they were safe in those cities. Nobody could avenge your blood, the Bible calls them, like Joab. If he was been in that city there, Joab couldn't have healed him. So you take in these cities of refuge, as long as the murderer that was in that city there, nobody could mess with him, because they had to wait a trial. And it had to be the judge who tried them, not the people. Alright, so here's Abner. He's in the gate. He dies in the gate of the city of refuge. Now let me show you what this city pictured. This city pictured our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all these cities, there were six cities of refuge. And I'm going to give you them in orders. They're listed in Joshua 27 and 8. Number one, in that passage of Scripture, you'll see Kadesh is the first city listed. Now, Kadesh means holy or righteousness. Now, you know what you'll find out? If somebody needs to get into a city, if they need holiness or righteousness, guess what they do? In Jesus Christ, you have a city of refuge. Guess what? Everybody in here needs holiness and you need righteousness. Why? All your righteousness is filthy rags. Anybody in here or anywhere else that says they're good, guess what? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So you know what that means? They're not good, they're just a liar. Now, guess what you do? You got to have a city of refuge. And friend, here it is. The Bible tells you that speaking of Jesus Christ, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, whereat? In Him. You'll only find righteousness in Jesus Christ. Now, here's something. Here, folks will say, well, you're teaching heresy now. I'll tell you one. You talk about all this love. People talk about God is love and all this stuff. You know what you'll find out? The Bible says, for God so loved. Now, if I say I love somebody, then that's past tense, right? If I say I love someone, that's past tense. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Guess what happened? People say, well, God loves this, and God loves that, and God loves all the Sodomites, and God loves... You know what you'll find out? No, He does not. Now, you know why you find that thing out? Why? You got to find your love at Calvary. The Bible said God so loved the world. You know what you'll find out? The Bible says, you read on the seat, people don't read more. Why? They're so used to being preached to these things without reading the context. The rest of that thing, that passage will tell you that those who do not believe, the Bible says, the wrath of God abides on them. Now, if God knows around the world, if you die without Christ, you just boom, bust hell wide up and take the devil 6 months to pass the whole world. What happens there? What happens is you'll find out that folks without Christ, guess what? You think God loves them while He's burning them? No, He's not. You'll find God's love at Calvary. That's where you find the love of God at. What happens is God so loved that He gave. He's already manifested His love to you. And all you got to do to get in the love of God, all you got to do is get in Jesus Christ. You'll find it. You will not find the love of God. You say, well, hold on, what's God doing right now? I've heard this, doing all these things and the sodomites and coming out of the closet and all these crazy things going on. Folks shooting officers, what's going on?
That's God's mercy. You're seeing God's mercy right now. That's not God's love. That's mercy. God can burn them up if He wants to. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to call the church out of here and money. You're going to see a time when folks wish for death. They wish for death and can't find it. That's a bad thing right there. You take somebody's guts off a bridge and they lay on the ground and they think, well, that's it for me. And all they wake up and buddy, all it is pain. They can't find any mercy. Why? It's gone. It's gone. What I'm telling you is God has shown His love for you, but you find that love in Christ. If you want righteousness, you will find it at the city of refuge. Why? Every one of us are guilty of murder. You say, what? I never killed anybody. Yes, you did. Why? It's because of your sin and my sin that Christ had to go to the cross. We're all guilty of deicide. And guess what? Christ lives forever. So it would take you forever to pay for those sins. Folks say, well, you're going to go to hell and pay for your sins. No, you're not. You're going to go to hell if you die without Christ and burn forever. Why? You can never pay for your sins. You'll never pay for them. It takes forever. What I'm saying is, we've got a city of refuge, and it's pictured right here in the Bible. There's a picture of Jesus Christ. The next city was Shechem. Now, let me show you something neat. Hold your place there and turn to Luke chapter 15 with me. I love how this Bible shows you things, man. The Lord will show you things out of this Bible. Your just mind would never think that these things are in here. But Shechem. Shechem is this city here. And the Smith's Bible Dictionary said it means shoulder. Now, when I looked up Shechem and I seen that thing, I said, now, look, I know these are pictures of Jesus Christ, but how could a shoulder picture Jesus Christ? Now, you know what? You ever seen so many weightlifters with great big old shoulders up here? Man, you got, guess what? That's a picture of strength. And you read through some of this old literature and stuff like that, these guys would want big shoulders. Wow, that showed that they had strength. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ is showing you a picture of Himself. Now let me show you something beautiful here. In Luke chapter number 15, I'm talking about a city of refuge. You think you don't have a refuge in the Lord? Watch this. Luke 15 verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees, there's your Pharisees, and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's how it is. Thank God He'll eat with me, a sinner. You know what I mean? That's what Jesus did. See, the Sadducees and Pharisees were separate from sinners, but not from sin. They were worse off than the folks who had the outward stuff. A lot of these folks are so humble, they got these outward sins. And man, let me just tell you right quick, I know I'm bad, man, I ain't gonna be nothing when I get over. And guess what? The Lord said, yeah, I'm with you more than I am with all them other folks who think they're gonna be something. You know what you're gonna find out? The ones who think they're gonna be something, when they get there, they're gonna be nothing. And the last is gonna be first, and the first is gonna be last. These humble folks is who God's going to use. You take some of these folks, they think they're so good and everything, they're going to get up there to heaven and the Lord's going to laugh. And you know, He's going to say, guess what? I use humble folks. I use humble people. And the thing is, we got to stay humble. Now you take this thing here, verse 3, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, watch how He's trying to show them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, watch what he does. Watch your city of refuge here. He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, you see that city of refuge right there? Guess what the Lord did with me? The Lord, I was a lost sheep out there, and guess what the Lord did? The Lord found me. I trusted Jesus Christ. He just put me right on the great big old strong shoulders that He is. And brother, He went off rejoicing that He found me. That's what He did with you. When you got saved, man, you couldn't get in that. You couldn't do anything of your own. Your strength is nothing. You take these folks, man, a lot of these, and I like to work out a little bit, and you know what you'll find out? No matter how strong you get, you're really not very strong. What if somebody could bench press 900 pounds? Well, in a man's view, that's pretty strong. But to God, that's not even a good-sized tree. God can take a breath of wind into a tornado and knock down a whole farm. God said, you think you're strong enough like me? You got to be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. You're just a little bit of sheep, and He's got to take you through. He's got to take you through your thing. You know what you'll find out? When you're having things go on in your life that nobody else can conquer, nobody else can help you with, you just say a little prayer, Lord, help me through this thing. And guess what He'll do? He'll put you up on His shoulders. He'll rejoice in what that you called out to Him. See, the thing is, He wants you to call out to Him. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your shoulders. That's the Lord. That's my city of refuge. When I need a city, He's there. He's there. Look at this next one. Hebron. Joshua 27:8 says the next one's Hebrew, and guess what it means? Alliance. That thing means alliance. You take these alliances that these nations make, guess what? They join together for a common purpose. Now, Hebrew means alliance, and guess what you do? Whenever you get in Christ, the Bible says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's what the Bible said. So guess what happens there? Whenever you get saved, whenever you trust Christ, you are joined to the Lord's body. And guess what happens there? The Lord's not going to cut off parts of his body. These folks that talk about losing their salvation, I feel so sorry for them. Now look, you think I'd cut my knee off my body? Now, that's what folks think whenever they say, well, you lose your salvation, you think Jesus Christ is going to cut his hands off? That's crazy. You're part of this body. You're joined with it. You're in alliance with it. You've got a city of refuge. Now look, if you need an alliance with somebody, let's say, hey, a lot of us don't have very many friends. Guess what you can do? You can have a friend in Jesus. We sing, oh, what a friend I have in Jesus. Thank God for that friendship in Him. You've got an alliance that will never be broken. Everybody else will leave you and forsake you, but Jesus Christ won't. You know what I like about the Lord Jesus Christ? You get to a position to where you think nobody loves you, nobody likes you, and then guess what? Let's say you get off and you have a bad week. Do you think the Lord left you? No, He's right there. All you got to do is call out to Him. Guess what? Though a just man falleth 7 times, he can rise up again. Why? Because the Lord will pick you up each and every time. You call out to Him, His arm's right there for you every single time. The thing is, the devil makes you think you're so bad, you can't be used. The devil makes you think that you're so this and so that, you can't be used. You know what I like about that Bible? Folks say, well, you cuss a lot, the devil can't use you. Simon Peter cussed out a little maid, the Lord uses him a lot. You see, the Pharisees, the Lord puts them Pharisees to rest. Some people say, well, I'll kill somebody, I can't be used. The Lord, Moses killed somebody, buried a man in the sand. The Lord used him. You know what? The Lord used that David. Here's David, has adultery, commits an adulterous affair, and he killed, has Uriah carry his own letter down there, and has him killed. And guess what? Folks say, yeah, he can't be used, the Lord. The Lord uses him in a mighty way. When he comes back, he's going to be one of the kings over in the millennium. See, God don't think like man thinks. Why? God is He's your city. If you go to that city, He can pull you out of that thing and use you and help you if you'll let Him. You take the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians by far that's ever been, and he wrote most of the New Testament. Guess what? Let's think of these credentials. Let's say a church was meeting a pastor, and I said this, I know a man who loves the Lord, and the Lord uses him, the Lord reveals mysteries to him and everything. And all we got to have it, but hold on, let me tell you, he's been in jail a few times. Oh. He don't smell very good. He's so big, he don't have time to take a bath because he's been roughed up a lot. He's been a lot of scuffles here. He's been stoned 2 or 3 times. He's been in the deep 2 or 3 times. And he's a rough character. He looks, he's got scars all over. He's been beaten by him. He's got scars all over. I don't know if we need that now. Guess what happened there? They were turned down the best in their day, if not the best there. What happened is the devil tries to make you think you can't be used. And God says, oh, did I say that? See, God thinks way different than man. Why? You got a city to go to. You got an alliance that cannot be broken. And guess what you can do? You can hold out your own and say, God, I just give it to you. And you know what he'll do? He'll take it. He'll take it. And brother, you got a lot. That's a city of refuge there. Now you got another one here too. Bezer. Bezer was the next city mentioned. It means gold ore. I said, what is an ore? Man, I got my dictionary out. You know what an ore is? It's a special rock with minerals in it. Now you take gold. What's gold in the Bible? Gold is a picture of deity. So you got a rock that's deity, that's deified. Now guess what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that rock is Christ. You know what we have? We have a rock in Jesus Christ. And you know what happens there? I'm standing on the rock. Now what happens is in life, if you don't have the rock, Jesus told a parable over there of 2 men who built a house. One man built his house on sand. The other man built his house on a rock. Well guess what? Both men built the house. Now guess what? Both of them were doing fine until what? The storm came. When the storm came, that's whenever you find it. See, the thing is, there's a whole lot of lost folks out there. It looks like they're doing great. It looks like they're doing real good. But you know what's going to tell the difference? When the storm comes to life, that's when you tell the difference. That's when you can tell what your house is built on. Why? Because you have to go to your refuge. The lost man has no refuge. Guess what we do? No matter what happens in our storm in life, we got refuge in Christ. And you know what you have? Or you know what you see happen? I can shake on top of a rock.
But the rock does not shake on the deep. That's the thing. The other man, guess what happened? He had his life built on sand. And man, that life, just as soon as the storm came, that life just swept away right in the ocean. Now, you know what we do? You know what the Lord will let you do? Like Simon Peter, in your storm, He'll let you walk on the water. We're rough on Simon Peter, but guess what? He was the only other man beside Christ who walked on the water. He'll let you walk above those things in that storm. Why? He's walking on the Word of God. Simon Peter said, Lord, if it's thou, bid me come. And you know what happened? Jesus said, come. That's His Word. And you know what Simon Peter did? Simon Peter walked on the water there. Why? He's walking on the Word. He's standing on the promises. Guess what? You got a rock in the Lord. And that rock is Christ. And friend, you got a city of refuge that the lost people don't have. There's Christ there. He's a picture of that city. Now another thing too, not only Beezer, you got Ramoth. That's Heights. You got a city of refuge. If you need a place to go to get in your heights, guess what happens there? You've got Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, speaking of Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People say, well, you're going to go to heaven when you die. I'm already there. Well, my spirit's there. My body just hadn't caught up yet. But how can you have a heavenly affection? Why? My spirit is joined to Christ and Christ is in heaven. That's why I have a pull for heaven. You know what? I know I've got a pull for heaven because this world is not my home. You take this world that kills cops and lets gays run around in the streets and everything. This is not my home. My home is somewhere else. Guess what? I'm looking for that home, not for this home here. Why? I'm seated with Him in the heavens. If you need that refuge, you've got it in Christ. There's no earthly high that can compare to the high you get with Jesus Christ there. He'll make you higher than anything else. And guess what? We're going to soar to heights above one of these days. Why? Because one of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, I hope this morning in the service, in the rapture of His church. And brother, we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I can comfort each other with these words. See, I've got this refuge in Christ. The next city, or the last one, was Golan. That means circle. That means circle. Now you take that thing and you say, how is that? A circle is something unbroken. It's something unbroken. Now circle too, if you get in Christ, you're in this circle. Now guess what? The Bible says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what we're saying? He hideth my soul where? In the cleft of the rock. We're in Him. We're in that circle. He encloses us and there's no way out of that thing. Why? You've got a security in Christ that this world does not have. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. You know what that means? You're accepted of Christ. Why? Because you came through the door and you came through the only way, so now you're accepted of Him. Now you know what's wrong with this world? Why do they want you to accept all these false crowds and all these false gospels and all these false church? Why? They said, we need to just accept us. Well, see, they know they don't have God's acceptance. So they've got to counterfeit it. They've got to get a false acceptance. Guess what? Why do you care? Why do you not care if anybody likes you or not? It don't matter to you. You know why? Because you know that you're accepted in Christ. It don't matter what they think about you, as long as it matters what God thinks about you. That's what the thing is. That's why you're already accepted in Him. Why? You're in that refuge. And if you need a refuge, you've got a refuge there in Christ. If you want to be accepted, you can be accepted if you come to Christ. Like people say, well, just accept Christ. Hold on a minute now. The Bible says He needs to accept you. And you can get accepted if you will come His way. You follow that word accepted through the Bible, you'll find that it's not man accepting God. Christ is not going over here going, well, just accept me and everything. No, you come to Him His way because what He will accept you. And you can get in Christ in that circle and you'll have a city of refuge from where live in it. The Bible says the devil is walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You got a real live devil trying to get you. And guess what happened? I got a city of refuge that I can go to. Now, why did I tell you that all that stuff right there? I told you that because that Hebron that Abner died in was a picture of Christ. And the Bible says He died in the gate. Now, what's that a picture of? There's a picture of unneeded destruction. Now, before I explain it to you, I want to give these verses to you. You know that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. You say, well, everybody's got an appointment with death. Yeah, but guess what? You can make death happen before it's even supposed to happen. Listen to this verse. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, be not over wicked much,
Neither be thou foolish, like Jesus said, oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe, and this man right here died like a fool. Why? It says, why shouldest thou die before thy time? You know what? There's a lot of folks that die before their time. There's a lot of folks that could have stayed alive long ago. They died before their appointed time. Everybody's going to die if the rapture don't happen. But guess what? There's people who die before their appointed time. Why? Because guess what? They don't listen. They die like fools. Now, guess what happens here with Abner? Why did he say he died like a fool? Y'all just saw that the city's a refuge. Hebron pictured Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he died where? In the gate. Now, guess what? Here's the gate of the city. And Abner, he steps outside the gate here, and guess what happened? He's not in the city. And guess what? The avenger of blood, he's a Joab, the picture of the devil, comes up there and smokes him under his fifth rib right before he gets in the gate. Now, you know what that picture is? A lot of folks, you know what that is? They almost get saved. Almost persuaded that thou may be a Christian. You know what? There's a lot of folks who come to church Sunday in and Sunday out, and they say prayers, and they read their Bible, and they shoot somebody's hand, they say a little prayer, and all this stuff. And friends, people, I used to think, why does pastors keep telling us there's so many people who die in the gate, just like Abner did? Abner was a good man, he was an honorable man, there's a lot of good folks going to be in hell. Guess what? Why? Because the Bible says there's none really good. Only Christ is good, and you got to get in him to get any goodness. What I'm saying is, he died in the gate. That's almost getting said. A lot of people are going to die. You know the saddest thing is going to be a lot of folks going to die from this church pew. They're going to go to hell from going. They're going to go to church, and they're going to think just because they joined the church. You know what's happening today? We got a brother getting baptized today. Does baptism save you? No, sir. You could get water baptized and all the tadpoles know your social security number, and it wouldn't make a hill of beans, friend. Why? Because water don't put you in Christ. When you trust Christ, it puts you in Christ. Does a prayer put you in Christ? No, a prayer don't put you in Christ. Why? Because there's some folks who can't speak. Why? You trust. That's why I say you trust Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you have trusted. See there, you believe on Christ. Guess what you do? If you want to get in the gate and not die right before you get to the gate there, guess what you got to do? You got to come to God as sinner. And you got to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner deserving hell. And that's out there in your heart. You can't even say it outside. And guess what? I'm trusting what Christ did for me on the cross. I'm trusting His shed blood. Nothing else. Not my water baptism, not works, not the wafer like the Roman Catholics do. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone. Get in heaven. Guess what? If you'll trust what He did for you on the cross, you will get in that city of refuge and the vineyard couldn't get you if He wanted to. What I'm saying is you see a fool, according to the Bible, a fool is somebody who has heard the truth of the gospel, and they've been to church, and they've heard all these things. They could have been saved. Guess what happens there? They die right in the gate, right before they get saved. You know what? None of us are guaranteed the next 5 minutes. That's why I like to tell y'all about the Lord as often as I can. Look, I don't know if we get out here in this room and get killed in the next 5 minutes, but I want to know that every one of you has had a chance. I want to know that all of you are trusting Jesus Christ. Man, it just blessed my heart to know that you had that chance. And friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is not obligated to give you two or three chances. He's not. Why? Because He's God. He just said He's going to give you that chance. Why? And you know what else the Bible says? All that come to me, He said, I will no wise cast out. You know what? Abner could have stepped inside that city there and been fine. What I'm saying is almost is not good enough. Now, I'll say this in closing. There's a whole lot of people who don't believe anything that'll happen. You take Abner, he didn't believe it. I believe he just thought he was going to be fine. And the Bible says there are going to be many scoffers in the last days saying, where's the promise of His coming? 1 Peter 3:4. Now, you know what? That's what's going on today. Folks are saying, well, is the Lord even going to do anything anyway? I can tell you something. He's going to do something and a whole lot more than you think He's ever going to do if you don't trust Him. What I'm saying this morning, I hope all of you are saved, but if you hadn't, all you've got to do is trust Jesus Christ. You don't have to come down here to this altar. You don't have to do nothing. You can trust Him right where you're sitting. You can trust Him in your car. You can trust Him in your house. You can trust Him wherever you're at. The thing is today, we've gotten so close to works. Even Baptists, a lot of people say, if you step out loud and you trust Christ, friend, you can get saved right there where you're sitting at. You don't have to step out and do all this type of stuff. If you want to, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, if you'll place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ right there where you're at, heaven will be your home. That's what I want to tell you. Now, in closing, I'll say this right here. Are you going to die like a fool, or you're going to die in faith. It's one of the two. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.